Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this playoff victory Monday, January 18, 2021. Chiefs beat the Browns 22-17 to advance to the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead Stadium for the third consecutive year. Let's talk to Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star about it. Hello, Sam. How are you?
I am good, man. How are you?
Doing very well. All right, let's get into this. Let's talk first about Patrick Mahomes and what happened to him on the field. Not only did he have the injured big toe, but then, of course, he gets knocked out of the game. And I want to read what Myles Garrett had to say after the game and then kind of get into this. He said, "I want to say that nobody on our team is headhunting, going after guys or trying to hurt a guy, no matter how good he is. We're praying for Mahomes' recovery and praying for his success. He's always been a quality guy in the way he does stuff for the community. He's a leader on and off the field, and you appreciate seeing especially from a guy of that caliber and just always trying to be a positive force wherever he goes." Some of the guys felt like that, he added, talking about what players were saying on the field. He said, "Some of the guys felt like that. I know Travis felt like that, and I'm cool with Travis. He's a good guy. Hung out with him a couple times in the offseason. I don't ever want him to feel like my guys or my team is out here trying to injure somebody or put them out of the game." So he said some of the players, including Travis Kelce, felt like that, and were talking about it on the field. And so then, of course, later on after the game, Patrick Mahomes tweeted a couple of times, and after the guy that actually injured him, Mac Wilson, tweeted out his you know, best wishes to Patrick Mahomes and hoped that he was all right. Mahomes retweeted and said, "All good, brother." And Sam, when I was watching it, it was so awkward and weird. And they kept showing the replay. I told my son Phil, I was watching, I go, "That was almost like a weird kind of attempt at a gator roll or anaconda choke you would see in MMA. It's almost like he got choked out for a second. Can he got up woozy? Because you didn't really see where he hit his head." And then I saw Jay Glazer last night, and Jason Anderson tweeted this out, and I think this is significant because then you're not talking about, you know, concussion symptoms. You're talking about something totally different. Jay Glazer said, "The thought is he will be okay to play. It was almost like he got choked out. Not so much a concussion, but still has to go through protocol. He's trying to get himself back in the game. There's a lot of confidence he'll be ready to go next week." That certainly would be different than if he had a concussion and had to go through concussion protocol. What's your reaction to all that?
I think that Travis Kelce and some of the other guys on that team were pissed off for a reason. I don't think that was a normal tackle. But I don't think that this was like Chuck Cecil back in the day either. You know what I mean? I think that if your guy gets tackled like that and put out of the game, forget that it's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, if that is, you know, no offense, but, you know, DeMarcus Robinson or just, you know, any player, and they get put out like that, I think you're pissed off. That's not a normal tackle. And Andy Reid used that same term, I believe, after the game about, you know, choked out. He said the way he put it was, you know, got the wind knocked out of him or breath knocked out of him or whatever. But I don't think that this is going to sound goofy, but I think that it was not a normal tackle. It's the kind of thing that's going to, you know, stretch the boundaries of what's accepted. But I also don't know that he's headhunting. You know what I mean? Like, I think the reaction afterward shows that. And I also maybe am approaching this with a little bit of a prejudice isn't the right word, but I think that Patrick Mahomes is one of the most respected players in the league. I think he is that for a lot of different reasons on and off the field. I think that opponents respect him as much as they respect any player in the league. And so that's part of where I'm coming from with this as well. Is I don't think that he's the guy that people are headhunting. Maybe that's naive. I'll admit that, especially with the tackle that looked like that tackle looked like. But that's where I'm coming from with it. I think it was a tackle that stretches the boundaries of what's accepted. But I don't think that guys are headhunting Patrick Mahomes. I just don't.
I am with you, and I think that the Twitter exchange that Steven just talked about afterwards kind of illustrates that a little bit. And we've been having conversations about this for a while that it doesn't, and I don't know if it's just a change in the philosophy of, I mean, shoot, back in the 80s, it was like, let's try to see if we can knock Joe Montana out of the game. Let's try to see if we can, you know, whoever the great quarterback is. And maybe that's just they've decided across the board that that's not the right philosophy. But it just does seem like you can just see it in the interactions with the players out on the field. Nobody ever seems to get in Mahomes' face. Nobody ever seems to want to be the guy that crosses him, so to speak. It is, there does seem to be, and just those quotes that Steven read from Myles Garrett, that guys, they respect him. And I don't know, why do you think that is? Is it just because of his play? Is there something about the way he carries himself? Is it a difference in the way the game's played today than it used to be?
Well, the talent is sort of like the ante, right?
Or right.
The cover charge to get in. I mean, that's just otherworldly talent, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I think that there is a lot of other stuff going on. He is the reigning Super Bowl MVP. That's what every player in that league is trying to get to. And he's got it. I think the way that he carries himself on the field is a big part of this as well. You know, he talks to the defense, and he does it in a way. I mean, you see it in these mic'd ups, right? Like, you know, the one time I thought that he was talking trash on the field was in the Super Bowl last year when I forgot who it was, but, you know, he kind of knocked over. you remember this play was near the end zone on the right side, and he got up, and I thought he was talking trash to the guy, and then you see the mic'd up, and he's like, that's a good hit. Good hit, though, mm-hmm. you know. And I also think that what he's done, the Black Lives Matter video, I think that gained him a lot of respect from players around the league, especially, and he's not the only one in that video. Obviously, there's 8 to 10 or whatever it was. but I think that there's a feeling within the league that Roger Goodell does not react the way that he reacted if Mahomes doesn't put his face on that video. I think that gained him some respect too. So there's just, you know, if you look at it the other way, like what is it about Mahomes that players wouldn't respect? You know what I mean? Like he's 10 out of 10 in every category that there is. I mean, he's competitive as hell. He is respectful of, you know, the opponent and their abilities. He's successful. He's talented. I mean, he's got everything. He's got the contract everybody wants. I mean, he's got it all.
Real recognizes real, baby. Why wouldn't you respect him? He's the best right. There is, and the way he does everything is wonderful. So, again, if it wasn't a concussion and he was choked out or something similar to that, and that's what happened, and I don't know, there's not a perfect way to describe it, then that does increase the chances that he's going to be ready to go on Sunday. But I thought we'd be talking about a toe injury. And look, right. A head injury is a lot more serious than a toe injury, but a toe injury, that's not nothing. And we talked to Derek Johnson on the show earlier. He talked about how many problems he had with his he said he basically had a permanent turf toe where if they didn't tape it up and treat it, and he couldn't walk, much less play football. And he was struggling through it. He's still the best quarterback in football with a bad toe, but that is something that we need to pay attention to because that did alter the way he played a little bit, and it was clearly bothering him.
It was, there's so many like alternative universes that I would love to explore, or maybe not love to explore, but it would just be so interesting with this. Like if there was no head injury, the toe injury, the Chiefs don't finish this out. You know, where is Harrison Butker's name in Kansas City? You know,
I don't want to explore that. Why do you want to explore that? She's not finishing out. You know where right, we've already explored that. That was 20 years ago, Sam. You're my friend, but no, let's not that explore that universe. God,
that was
good Lord.
What I was hoping for.
You got it.
So the toe injury, he was still really good with that injury, and it was obviously bothering him. But it was almost like there were times where it just looked like. This isn't the right analogy, but this is, you know, live radio, right? But remember they used to talk about Jim Brown? Like, one of the things they always talked about with Jim Brown is that you'd tackle him and he'd be the last one to get up and he'd act like he was in pain and he'd go back to the huddle slow and all that stuff. You'd think you got him. And then he'd get the ball and just run your ass over. there was, like, a little bit of not running people over. That's not his game, obviously, but just sort of he was limping, you know, after the play's over, back to the huddle, all that. But, God, when the ball was snapped, you know, if all you saw was, you know, snap to whistle, I don't know that you would have noticed anything. You know, I mean, his footwork maybe was a little bit different, but his footwork's different a lot of times. So the toe injury is obviously, like, if it affects his mobility, that's a big deal. You know, we saw that last year of how different he was after the knee, but before the bye, you know, the second half of the regular season last year when he wasn't able to move around as well. And then it looked like, you know, the bye, he was a totally different guy in the playoffs, you know, illustrated most clearly with that run against the Titans down the left sideline. So, look, if, you know, if he's hampered, because his legs, he's not fast. Like, he's not, you know, going to kill you with his legs. He's not Lamar Jackson. But he's got just enough threat there to, you know, that you can't just drop everybody into coverage, in man coverage without a spy or something like that. And if that's not there, then, you know, a significant part of Mahomes' effectiveness is taken away. All that being said, if forget the head for a second, like you said, you know, if he's able to move around just as well as he was yesterday, I think that's enough for him to be the best quarterback in the league.
Just a play just came to my mind when you were talking about his ability to run and whether or not he's fast. And it was a play that ended up not counting. It was in the first half. They got called back because of a penalty. Do you remember the run he had down inside the red zone where he, like, stopped on the sideline and let the defender run past him and then got, like, another 5 yards?
That was Myles Garrett, too, right?
Yes. Like, he might not be that fast, but he can run. I mean, he can make people miss. It's crazy.
He's really agile. You know, it's not like a quickness, like a point guard. But he's really agile, and he's able to move his body in just the right way. Like Mitch Schwartz on Twitter, this has been a couple of weeks, but he said something like, "Pat's official speed is 0.1 seconds faster than whoever's chasing him." And you know what? Like, there's something to that. Yeah. You know, there's something to that. Except for that 35 or whatever it was yard sack against the Dolphins. You know, he always seems to just be a blink ahead of whoever's chasing. You know, again, that Titans run. You know, we've seen him do stuff like that a lot. You know, the there was a scramble. Was it the Bills? Remember that one? It was on the left side, and he was going toward the sideline. He just kind of stopped, and the guy runs by him like a cartoon. He's athletic. He's athletic as hell, obviously. So I'm not trying to say he's not, but he's just. I don't know what his 40 speed is, but whatever it is, it's not like, oh my God, he's so fast. And, you know, his, you know, quickness is not like a classical, again, like a point guard sort of crossing you over quickness that guys have. But he has a way of understanding, like, body leverage and timing. And, I mean, he's got some slipperiness. He's got a lot more slipperiness than you would think if you just looked at the raw, you know, again, 40 time and cone drill times and stuff like that.
Before we break, I just want to mention that this is the what you just sent me this down this rabbit hole. When you were mentioning Jim Brown and we're talking about toe injuries, that immediately made me remember one of the funniest scenes from the movie I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. Do you remember when they were in the shootout and Keenan Ivory Wayans and Jim Brown are in the shootout, and then Jim Brown runs across. He goes, "I'm hit! I'm hit!" And he's in a lot of pain, and like Keenan Ivory Wayans comes over, is looking all over his body. "Where did they get you? They got me in my toe. They shot me in my bunion." And then you have to go. I'm gonna tweet out the scene. But thank you for making me look up one of my favorite scenes from "I'm Gonna Get You Sucker," starring Keenan Ivory Wayans and Jim Brown. And so Jim Brown did have a big toe problem. Hopefully Patrick Mahomes' toe does not look like this. We will take a break. Back after this with Sam Mellinger on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah, there's no time to say anything other than let's go. You know, Chad, get one. I mean, we're in the middle of it. Trying to win the game, right? So there's no time. We've rehearsed all that before. So it's not, you know, there was no time to talk about it. Guys know. And that, listen, that's the part that is, I think, is a tribute to Chad and how he handles himself. So you don't earn that respect from the coaches and the players without handling yourself the right way every day. Whether it's in practice, he runs a scout team, you know, he's a scout team quarterback, you know, how he handles himself there. I handled himself in the locker room, meetings. I mean, nobody had any doubt.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez and Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star on this playoff victory Monday, January 18th, 2021. A couple of responses from the Twitter. Nate says, "Karate chop to the neck, grab the head and twist after he's down. That's head hunting, no doubt about it. Maybe he got caught up in the moment, but feeling bad afterward doesn't change reality." And then Derek tweets, "He held on too long. That, you know, and I mean, didn't let go. Still twisting the neck." And then somebody else tweeted in, and I thought it was interesting too, that Travis Kelce and you know, Myles Garrett did mention Travis Kelce. Matt says, "What about Kelce saying after the game, Browns players are saying, 'That's what we do. That's what we do,' after they knocked Mahomes out of the game?" And look, I'm with you, Sam. It's difficult to describe what happened, but I do think they got caught up in the moment, and it was dirty. I mean, that didn't look normal. Here's Kelce real quick. This is what Kelce said after the game about the play that injured Mahomes.
"You know, it's a violent game. It is what it is. And we wear helmets for a reason. And that's because guys are flying around trying to take your head off. And you know, it's you never want to say that, you know, someone purposely took somebody out the game. But they were flying around. And after the initial hit, they were fired up saying, 'That's what we do. That's what we do.' So it was just, there was a lot of talk between me and their players. But for the most part, it was just in a competitive mindset, and because I do feel like those guys are good dudes, and I respect a lot of them for that, but especially Miles. And then on top of that, what was the second question? I'm sorry.
And look, hey, you get caught up in the heat of the moment. I mean, hell yes, if you're a Chiefs player, you're mad. You don't get a chance to see instant replay. It looked dirty when it happened live, and you keep watching replays. It didn't look normal. Didn't look right. And so bottom line is that Doc Mahomes out of the game, and either way, hopefully he'll be ready for Sunday. So all that said, Sam, you expect him to play on Sunday against the Bills?
I do. You know, I wouldn't bet my house on it or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, it does seem like, as far as concussions go, and God, sometimes I think that's the wrong word. I mean, concussion is a brain injury, right? But as far as these things go, this looks like one that, you know, somebody could come back from, you know, the next week. All the indications are good. I mean, it was, I was wondering on those Zoom calls last night, and this is one of those times I really miss being in the locker room. You know, I just think that you can get a much better feel for the mood of a group of people, in person, obviously. But on the Zoom calls, I was wondering how down guys would be. You know, I mean, I know they just won a playoff game, but you know, they lost the unicorn, you know, midway through the third quarter, but they were fired up, and even when asked about Patrick, they were positive, especially Andy Reid, and I think that guy, he talked to Mahomes like right before he got on the call with us, and I think that was part of his optimism. I really do. So I think you know, it's still 6 days away, right? You know, there's a lot of steps that have to be taken. But if you were going to bet one way or the other, even money, I think you'd say that he's going to play.
All right, Sam, fourth and one, the entire season on the line.
Yeah.
Your backup quarterback who just threw a pretty brutal interception on the last drive in the game. Rank that amongst the ballsiest calls you've ever seen by a coach in Chiefs history. Where's that one?
I mean, it's up there. But you know what's crazy about this play? Like, it was ballsy. Like, absolutely. 10 out of 10. But part of it, too, is it's not just, like, ballsy sort of implies, like, you know, screw it. You know, let's just let it go. There was a lot of preparation. The level of preparation that went into that is absolutely incredible to me. You know, there is, and you guys talked to Derek Johnson about this. I mean, there is a really good chance that Chad Henne has not run that play with the starters ever. That's incredible to trust in that moment. But also think about that play. They started with an empty backfield. And then they used that motion. I think it was Darrell Williams, right? They used the motion to see if the Browns were in the defense that they expected them to be in from film work. So that's hours of preparation, seeing how the Browns defend, you know, fourth and short plays like that, and making sure that because my assumption is that and gosh, now I can't remember if they had a timeout, but my assumption is that if the Browns were not giving the Chiefs the look they wanted, if they were going to be in zone there, that the Chiefs either call timeout if they've got one, I can't remember if they do, or just take the delay and then punt. But so that's next level, right? And I also think that it seemed like the offense, I mean, there was a time where he's standing in shotgun. I'm like, God, they're just really going to – they're going to do this thing where they just don't snap it. There's not going to be a play here. And part of that was I think the players sold it. They sold it that way. And I wonder if that gave the Chiefs just a blink of an advantage once the ball was snapped. And then, on top of that, the play is it's a one-read play, and it's designed to give, you know, the advantage that the Chiefs will have in every game that they play, no matter the opponent, is Tyreek Hill's speed and his quickness. And they got him isolated, and he ran that way, you know, sort of moving the pocket, if you will, you know, ran that way and delivered the ball. But there's just so many different levels of preparation. Ballsy, yes, absolutely. But Andy Reid is not out here trying to, like, win a ballsy contest. You know what I mean? Like, he's trying to win a football game.
No, that's yes. Jake's job.
It says you, Sam. How do you know that? That's your opinion.
But you know what?
I think he's out there trying to win the ballsy match.
As the Ghetto Boys once famously said, you know, the real ones don't have to flex their balls because they really know they got them.
No.
And a buddy of mine texted me after the game and said, that's the kind of call that a coach who just won the Super Bowl makes. And I don't know, like, there's no way of knowing this is total hypothetical, but Andy Reid's got nothing left to prove. And, you know, he already knows he's great. And he knows his team's great. And I don't think, like, to me, there's a difference between reckless and ballsy. Like, you can go take all kinds of chances in the world, and that doesn't mean you're brave. It just might mean you're crazy. But, like, to me, ballsy means, like, he was brave enough, he was confident enough in his team and his preparation and everything to face all of the things that they were facing and say, yeah, let's roll, let's do this.
Ballsy's doing that on your own 20. Doing that on your own 20, that's ballsy. Like, wow.
Mike Tomlin has a Super Bowl championship, and he couldn't wait to punt in a crucial situation.
That's true.
You know what? Fair point.
Yeah. Like, but I guess maybe this is what you're talking about, Nate, with, like, reckless and ballsy, is that Andy Reid is not trying to impress somebody with, like, oh, my God, like, good for you. That was an amazing, like, ballsy call. He made that call because he thought that they would be able to get it. Because I think,
like, and they were prepared for it, Sam. Like it wasn't just like, screw it, let's just throw caution to the wind and go for it. They were prepared for that moment. They had discussed it, and they were ready for it.
100%. Because the easy thing is to punt in that. So that would not have been the Tomlin punt or the Vrabel punt,
right?
From last weekend. Because I think that the Browns would have got the ball, I mean, we'll just guess, like, somewhere between the 10 and the 20, right? Somewhere between the 5 and the 15. They've got between 80 and 95 yards with, what, a minute 10-ish? And they had no timeouts, and they got to get a touchdown. I mean, I think the Chiefs win if they punt. I think it's likelier than not that they would have won if they punted. So the easy thing to do is to kick it away there. But and this is, we've talked about this for, you know, 3 years now. When you've got this offense, you know, that changes the calculus. And look, like I'm always going to, I'm a fourth down, like sort of an extremist on these things. I think coaches should go for it a hell of a lot more than they do. But I do think that the calculus changes when you've got Chad Henne, no offense to Chad Henne, but when you've got him instead of the best quarterback in the league, I think that does change the calculus a little bit. So credit to, you know, and it's not just, I mean, Andy's the head coach. He's got the final call, but, you know, he's asking, you know, his offensive coordinator what he thinks. There's, you know, zero flinch is the way that Andy put it. He's asking his quarterback coach what he thinks. He's asking, you know, Joe Bergmeyer, like what he, I mean, they were all together on that. And I think that's another part of, it's crazy, man. These decisions have to be made in 2 seconds. Sorry. My watch is talking to me. These decisions have to be made in like 2 seconds, but they're made with hours and weeks and months of preparation in mind. Because Andy's seen that play work in practice, not with Henne, but he's seen that play work. They talked about it the night before in the hotel or wherever they do it now. You know, fourth and short, what play do you like? I mean, there's, it's crazy how much time and preparation goes into that 2 seconds to make the decision.
And let's not forget, as soon as Mahomes got hurt, he goes out of the game, Henne goes in, and it was fourth and one at the Kansas City 48 after Mahomes left. And he chose to go for it then, and Williams picked up 12 yards, and they ended up kicking a field goal. And that's why the Browns needed a touchdown to win after that. That was an important decision that was made, fourth and one at the KC 48. After Mahomes had just left injured, they went for it. They got it. But then it was fourth and one again at the Cleveland 15. And guess what? I was ready for them to go for it again. I was disappointed they didn't go for it and try to get the touchdown to end it. They kicked the field goal, which was meaningful. But at that point, I would have signed off on another going for it on fourth and one. We'll take a break. Back after this on WHB.
They've been very aggressive in a lot of those moments, so that didn't surprise me. Us getting a stop there, you know, would have been, you know, we'd be set up. So there's risk involved in their decision, but they trusted their guys and they made a play. And, you know, our defense put us in position off many times in that game, you know, holding them to a field goal that they missed there after the interception, getting an interception in the end zone there. So, again, hey, we're going to win as a team and lose as a team.
That was Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski, who, boy, he just did a marvelous job this year talking about that fourth down conversion by the Chiefs. And my guess is the Browns aren't going away. I was very impressed, save for the one interception that he threw, but very impressed with Baker Mayfield and very impressed with that Browns football team and their head coach Kevin Stefanski. So maybe this will be the first of a few playoff battles between Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. But up next, another young gun, it's Josh Allen. After they beat the Ravens, just quickly on that game, Sam, that was amazing how that the entire game came down to one play. It everything changed with one play. The Ravens were going in for the tying score, and it was going to be 10-10. He missed what should have been a touchdown pass the play before, but then bad throw, interception, return for 101 yards, and it goes from tie game to a 2-touchdown lead, a true 14-point swing, and that was it. Lamar Jackson was done. And here comes the Bills to Arrowhead. But it is to be noted, the Buffalo Bills, their vaunted offense, scored 10 points in that game. They scored 17, but 7 was the 101-yard pick 6. So it's not like they're firing off on all cylinders offensively. What do you think of the Bills in that win, and what challenges they will pose for the Chiefs on Sunday?
Yeah, how could you not be impressed with the Bills over the last, basically since after week six, right? Josh Allen seems to, he's got some feast or famine in him, right? And, you know, for most of the last 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever, it's been feast and, you know, wasn't as effective against the Ravens, as you said. I thought the Ravens were going to win that game. And at some point, I need to just sit one out and let Lamar be really good in the playoffs before I just say he's really good in the playoffs. But, you know, that's the Bills. We can talk about the offense, and we should. And, you know, going one-dimensional, it's a great dimension to have because Josh Allen is an athletic freak. But, you know, going as one-dimensional as they did in that game, you know, there's some things that the Chiefs could counter with that a lot easier than if there's some balance. But their defense, you know, their defense has been playing a lot better. The Bills' defense wasn't a mess, but, you know, they could be had. Early in the season, and they had some problems with speed, some problems with the defensive line. You know, there were just some holes there, and they appear to have solidified those. They appear to be in a really good place defensively, and you know, whether Mahomes plays or not. And again, if I had to say right now, I'm expecting him to play, but you know, that's you know, they're not facing the defense that's just going to roll over for him as well. So it's a hell of a matchup. You know, you just talked about how maybe the Chiefs and the Browns are going to have a lot of playoff matchups going forward. You can throw a dart and hit a team that the Chiefs might have a lot of playoff matchups going forward. I mean, the AFC is just freaking loaded, it looks like, right now. Depending on Deshaun Watson, I guess he's part of this, but, you know, between Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield and, you know, Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence pretty soon. I mean, it's just the AFC is absolutely loaded. So, look, I think these are the two teams that should be playing in the AFC Championship game. I think these have been, you know, pretty clearly the best two teams in the AFC. You could argue, you know, two of the best three teams in the NFL, except put the Packers in that group. So I'm looking forward to this game. I think that these are two of the superstars that are going to help define the next decade of the NFL. Can't wait. It's going to be great.
So last time around, Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran the ball 26 times for 161 yards. As we all remember, that Sean McDermott and the Bills basically decided, you're going to beat us through the run. We're not going to let you beat us over the top with the pass. And they still lost the game, but they were in the game. Do you think Sean McDermott looks at it and says, you know what, that approach actually kept us in the game, and if Josh Allen plays better, we win the game, so let's stick with it? Or do you think he changes the whole thing up coming into this week?
It's a hell of a question. And I remember after that game, Sean McDermott was kind of surprisingly open about that. You know, he was basically saying, yes, like, we were begging him to run the ball. And not just that, but then he said, I'd do it again. I'd do the same thing again. Look, that
do it again
with,
then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was with 15 minutes or whatever after the game. And like I said, you know, just in the last thing that we were talking about, I think the Bills' defense is different now. I think they're better equipped, you know, just in the front and the back. But, guys, like, if I'm playing the Chiefs, that's what I do. Right? Like,
yeah.
I want to take my chances against, you know, that offensive line and running backs that are good but not great. I mean, that's a much better option to me than, you know, trying to chase Tyreek Hill downfield and, you know, letting Travis Kelce find spots in zone coverage in the intermediate routes. I mean, like, yeah, sign me up. I think that's a much better way to beat the Chiefs than to let Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes plays. Give me your prediction.
I think the Chiefs are better, but I think that this is the best team that they will have played all year, including the Bucs, Saints, whatever. So I don't know, 20. How about 30-26?
Chiefs.
Yep.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I think. Yeah. I think they're better, and I like quietly. We. I don't know if we talked about this at all. On the show, but like the defense is playing a lot better. They, they have that track record between, what was it, like, that run of like the Bucks, Saints, Dolphins. There was another game in there where they played really good for three quarters, maybe three and a half quarters, and then sort of let it go in the fourth quarter, and then played their best game of the season against the Falcons, and in a lot of ways even better against the Browns. The defense is playing a lot better, and that's something that I think maybe we'll talk about more this week. But you know, that's part of the calculus here too.
They did get a fourth quarter stop when they needed to get that stop. And a reminder, I talked about the Bills' offense. In that game against the Ravens, they were outgained 340 to 220. They only had 220 yards of total offense. Ravens had more first downs. Ravens had by far more total plays, yards per play, everything. And the whole difference was the horrific pass by Lamar Jackson that turned into a pick six. That was the difference between the Ravens and the Bills. And guess what? For people that keep swinging from the Ravens, that's what we keep telling you. The difference is Lamar Jackson is not capable in the playoffs of what these other quarterbacks are. At some point, it's going to sink in. Sam Mellinger, I do love you. Thank you.
Love you too. See you guys.
That's Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star. I'm sorry. It just had to be said. The difference in that game was Lamar Jackson, and not in a good way. Back after this on WHB.